Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. Too bad for radio and too good looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one. Two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza. Your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Happy Father's Day.
It's pretty anemic out here. I see a lot of orphans here at Roberta's today.
A lot of people from the Midwest whose fathers are home, like, mowing the lawn and accepting, like, what is that ugly basket of fruit that they send out now? The something bouquet of strawberries that have been sprayed to look fresh for a week.
And mugs that say world's best dad and aprons.
Right,
and,
which you can get at thrift stores, actually. So, you know.
Yeah,
you
just can kind clean of, them up.
Yeah.
What's the protocol for pet owners? Should the pets be giving their pet daddy's gifts? Because I gotta say, I was a little sad. The Jeepster, you know, I woke up and he was sort of like looking at me blankly today. Nothing.
Yeah, Spiro got nothing from our cats either. I think that they got the same thing I got my dad, which was nothing.
But well, my dog couldn't call me on the phone even. You
know, so. But he shows you his love in other ways.
Yes.
We have a guest today who we've been trying to get for ages.
This is a long time booking come true. Dreams can come true, Judy.
They can come true.
They can happen to you.
It's Joe McGinty from Loser's Lounge. Yay!
Number one loser in America.
That's right. I'm a proud card-carrying loser.
And if anybody who's lived in New York for any amount of time knows the Loser Lounge, a very long time, successful, enjoyable series of music. And how do we describe the Loser's Lounge? As you tribute, feat, attack?
We, you know, pay homage to a lot of...
Homage, that was the word I was looking for.
Pop greats, you know, from ABBA to the Zombies, we like to say, and we've been doing it for almost 20 years, which surprises me to even say that.
But you started when you were like 5.
Exactly. And we have a house band with like strings, backup singers, horns, then we'll have 20 different singers going through a catalog with particular artists.
It's absolutely great. I've been to many Loser Lounge shows, and not one has ever been less than absolutely incredible. Who are some of the artists that we've got? That you've covered over the years, some of them, what are some of your favorite shows? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah,
roster.
Like Burt Bacharach is always a favorite. Oh, yeah. It's kind of when we started the show, that was kind of the idea. And it was actually before Burt Bacharach was cool, you know, in the early 90s, people were...
There was a big resurgence of that kind of like...
Yeah, thanks to us, I think.
Of course it's because of you.
The Monkees, Dusty Springfield, you know, but then, you know, 80s people like The Cure and Duran Duran, you know, we kind of run the gamut.
I remember going to the Roxy Music Loser's Lounge. It reminded me how much I really don't like the record Avalon.
I love that record.
You see, because you're a girl. And the women were like, this is great. And I was like, you know, I like early Roxy. You know, I like the first Roxy record. And then that other
record.
We want
a record
like,
we can picture making out with Brian Ferry, too.
That's pretty much, you know, the picture making out with Brian Ferry. I mean, he's like 1,000 years old.
He stole his son's girlfriend.
Exactly. Like, he married his son's ex-girlfriend.
He's like,
and that's Admirable Hal.
The thing about him is that he was smart because he looked like an older guy when he was young. Mm-hmm. So he's not like, you know, Mick Jagger, who looks all wrinkly and crinkly and trying to look like Mick Jagger, but he always looked kind of suave, like an older guy.
Have you done a Stone show?
What's that?
Have you, has it been a Losers?
We've never done the Stones. Right. I mean, they're almost too obvious. We try to stay away from like the big obvious ones. We'll try to do people that are a little more unsung in a way. Oh, I see Cliff Mott.
Ah, here he is.
Artist for Losers.
The man who took the punk out of Punctual. There's a pizza involved, so you knew he was coming eventually.
Right.
Have you ever picked a band who you really don't like?
No, I mean, because part of the reason for doing it is, although, you know, I like Neil Young, but we didn't think it would be a good enough show. So somebody came up with the idea of Neil Young versus the Eagles, and I'm not an Eagles fan. So I was...
No personal taste is, Joe.
Recently, we did Cat Stevens versus James Taylor, and I stacked the deck in favor of Cat Stevens in a very big way.
And here he is, Cliff Mott, artist of the Losers Lounge. Oh, he's with his beautiful wife, Arlene. Come on, have a seat, Cliff.
It's good we have an actual...
You're late, but the pizza's coming.
It's Father's Day, and he's an actual dad.
Pull that mic up and put some headphones on.
Headphones on.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So, Cliff, tell us quickly what it's like being a dad on Father's Day. How many fabulous presents did you get?
Oh, they're too innumerous to count, really.
Did you get breakfast in bed?
No. So that's, well, actually, that's one. I didn't get that. I'm looking forward to the first beer.
The first beer?
The first beer.
If you got here early, we could have started you on that, Cliff.
I know. I was trying.
So we're coming up. We're talking today about the ABBA show, which is coming up. Looking forward to it. Which you drew. Who's your favorite person to draw?
In ABBA?
No. Oh. Across 20 years of Losers.
I go for Agnetha. But, it's... Elvis Costello is always fun.
Yeah, Cliff has done many amazing illustrations.
They're always fun to do. They give me free rein, and I just go, whatever hits me.
And then who are the people that you've actually... done the Losers Lounges in these homages that were... who's actually seen the posters? Who's actually shown up? Who's actually chimed in and said yay or nay?
One of the fun things was that XTC requested a copy, and they each have Cliff's artwork hanging in their studios.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So that's pretty exciting.
And they sent me a really nice...
For them.
But at the same time, Lee Hazelwood also is at his show, and I went to his memorial service because we kind of became friends with his family, and they asked for a blow-up version of the Lee Hazelwood for his memorial,
which
is very, very flattering.
It's hanging in his house.
Well, today we're talking about the ABBA show.
Right.
We're calling it the Abattoir. Welcome to the
Abattoir. Very good.
See what I did there? This is a Food Network, so I have to make that reach once in a while. And Joe set up a bunch of clips, some ABBA history, the unknown history of ABBA, I think we get to hear today a little bit. So why don't you set up the first clip and...
One of the fun things about the show is, you know, pretty much with every artist, we always enjoy finding some obscurities. Like, we'll play the big hits that everybody knows, like, you know, Dancing Queen, Mamma Mia. But with ABBA, before they were ABBA, they were actually kind of already big stars in Sweden. And Benny had a garage band, sort of a psych garage band called the Hep Stars. And this song is called Consolation from the Hep Stars.
All right, Joe, the engineer, you got that set up? It's kind of like Kenny Rogers had his psychedelic band with Kenny Rogers, right? I'm just thinking about, like, you know, ugly dudes with beards. Us, Swedish prog folk. This is just another example of how the Beatles ruined everything. So what year would this have been?
It was like 67, 68.
And what year did ABBA actually get their start? Like, you know,
like 72, 73, somewhere around there.
How do you feel about ABBA, Judy?
I have, you know, I like the hits. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm not a fan of this song.
Oh, well.
Much better.
What Judy says goes...
We're not actually doing this song, but I thought it was an interesting
part of it. ABBA's a weird band. They sort of have, like, I mean, there's a whole camp kind of thing going on where they've really kind of percolated into the mainstream. I think they have a big, you know, gay following, and gay culture's very, you know, likes ABBA a lot. But the weird thing was, my father one time said, "Oh, I'm coming to New York. I want to go to see the theater. I want to go to theater." And I said, "Great." And he said, "What do you want to see?" He said, "Mamma Mia."
Cultured man.
That's music.
Maybe he thought it was about an Italian restaurant.
Mamma Mia. Come for the taste, stay for the flavor.
I just saw the movie of that. I was not so impressed.
The movie was not good. I did see the musical on
and
Broadway.
It was fun?
And it was actually good, but yeah, they, you know, Meryl Streep, not one of her finer moments.
Yeah, well, it was no Spice Girls.
Spice Girls movie was funny.
Actually, I like the Spice Girls.
I really do, because it's got sort of like a monkeys-ish kind of vibe to it, right? It's kind of not so serious. Right.
And Richard E. Grant is in it. Like, how could you go wrong?
That's
with
true.
Him? Like,
that's true.
So who are some of the singers who are going to be doing ABBA this week?
Well, we have we have a really great cast of regulars. David Driver is a really amazing singer. The Losers Lounge started with my friend Nick Danger, who always brings down the house. He'll Absolutely. Be doing One Night in Bangkok, which was written by the fellows from ABBA.
So you were telling us off air about the songwriting process, and they were two married couples, broke up, continued going, and like what happened with the songwriting? There was no fighting like Fleetwood Mac had. You said something about
right.
That.
Well, you know, in Fleetwood Mac, they famously broke up
and
during the
traded off with each
making
other.
Of rumors. Right, traded off with each other. You know, Mick was sleeping with Stevie Nicks.
They're still dining out on that story.
Yeah, I know. Lindsay wrote "Go Your Own Way" about Stevie. Stevie wrote "Dreams" about Lindsay. But in ABBA, the female singers did not write any of the songs. They were strictly singers. So all the songs about the breakup were written by the guys, and the girls sang them. So he could literally put words in their mouth about breaking up.
My dream come true.
That must have been a lot of fun for the
I'm dialing all my ex-girlfriends right now. Yeah, I got a song for you to sing. So I can't even name the members of ABBA. It's kind of shameful. Peter, Paul, John, Mary. Who's in
their last names are slightly hard to pronounce, so it's best to just say right. Benny and Bjorn, Agneta and Frida.
The two A's are the girls and the two B's are the boys.
Oh, you knew that.
Yeah.
You knew that. Oh, yeah. It's ABBA. I thought it was like...
Frida is actually Anna Frida, but that later when she had her solo career produced by Phil Collins, she was just Frida.
Right. You guys should do a Frida Payne Losers Lounge.
Yeah, sure.
There's probably not enough songs, though.
No.
All right, what's next? What are we going to hear next?
Well, I think that, you know, your connection to porn will appreciate this next one, because the first time Benny and Bjorn worked together was to score a porn movie called The Seduction of Inga, which is a softcore Swedish porn film, which actually had a hit song. And can you imagine, like, in the States, if a porn movie had a top 40 hit song? Just to show you how open-minded
why Swedish porn has such a sterling reputation. So this is music actually from the soundtrack of a porn film.
You're a good, wonderful boy, and you deserve more than I can offer. I'm no good for you, Ralph. I would only mess up your life as I have my own. Best thing I can do is stay away from you. Be happy and forget about
it. I can do this. Joe, I'm going to say this because I'm going to need to be putting this on my iPhone later.
You can tell what song they were ripping off with this.
It's like I'm a Man was a Spencer Davis group.
It's with Backwards.
Oh, Backwards, right? It's like, it was always a good thing to play a song backwards, like in the movie Psych Out, right? The band Mumbling Jim, right? Which, like, Jack, I don't know if Jack Nance was actually in the band, but whatever. It's like, you listen to the song they do, it's Purple Haze, just the riff just played upside down. You know, the octave thing's kind of switcheroo. Well, this is really groovy.
Yeah, I like this. It's kind of Flying Lizards-ish, too. Like.
So have you done any porn soundtrack work, Joe? Because certainly you'd be a great candidate.
I did do some music for the HBO series G-String Divas a while back.
I can't believe I missed that.
And more recently, for the show Bored to Death, there was a striptease scene with Julie Atlas Muse that I did some music for. So I'm available.
And experience.
I love her. She does really cool stuff.
She looks something super nice. Just
yeah.
So there's a couple other things that come in here.
That was way better than the garage
band. Well, which is
we will be doing that stuff with some go-go dancing by Anna Kobakabana.
Ah, yes.
Oh, nice.
And then who else is going to be joining the ABBA thing? We were talking about a couple people.
There's
so many talented people on stage.
Sean Altman from Rockapella. You know, he was in Rockapella back in the day. A bunch of people from the Upright Citizens Brigade. This singer named Anna Caligari, who is in a forklift comedy group. So I, you know, it's just too many to mention.
Judy is quite a singer.
I'm really a great singer.
She's a lovely
instrument. We have a karaoke moment actually in the late show, so you could be our karaoke singer.
If I stayed up late.
What do you do your Whitney Houston night? Judy's your girl.
All right. I'm like a Whitney.
Okay.
You sound alike, really.
We could do Whitney versus Britney.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be so fun. Oh my God, you'd have every gay guy in Manhattan there.
I'd be willing to shave my head for that. Oh,
yeah. Me too. So are there, like, how do you, so people, you are such a hardworking musician. Even on Tuesday nights, you're out at 10 doing piano karaoke at the Manhattan Inn. Tell me some of the other stuff you've done. You've played with Psychedelic Furs, right?
Right. Played on the last couple records. Played on some Ramones records.
Wait, the Ramones had a keyboard player? Joe Ramone?
Yeah, I was, and actually played on some shows with Joey Ramone. Mm-hmm. He had a side project called The Resistance. They actually were covering a Door song, and I played some keyboards on
that. Well, no, they had the record Acid Eaters. Was that
I played
called?
On that one, yeah.
Right, which was a lot of like late 60s rock and roll covers.
Yeah, garagey kind mm-hmm. of covers.
Which I actually quite liked. It was like Who Will Stop the Rain was one of them, I think. Yeah, and maybe a Jefferson Airplane song. I kind of like that record.
They did Can't Seem to Make You Mine is on that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty groovy. Yeah. Well, people forget that, the Ramones came out of that.
Right.
This pure punk rock thing came out of Beatles and glam rock and 60s.
They were fans, girls groups. They loved the girl groups. It was sort of through them. I played with Ronnie Spector, and it was kind of because of the connection with Joey that I got in that band, which is obviously a thrill to play in her band.
Have you done a Loser's Lounge to many girl groups? It seems like a natural fit.
We've touched on it, like when we've done Carole King, we did a lot of girl group songs. Dusty Springfield covered a lot of girl group material. And then I played an actual girl group show at Lincoln Center a couple of years ago at part of the Ponderosa Stomp, mm-hmm. where we backed up all those singers. It was really great.
Because Cliff wants to draw the Shangri-Las. I know he's been dying.
Yeah. I already have.
it's already in the back.
It's in the back.
So we got another ABBA clip. Let's stay on stay in the ABBA 12 for
a
second.
Let me see what's up next.
Because the show is from Thursday to Saturday at Joe's Pub, right?
Right, and you can find out information at www.loserslounge.com. This is called Hole in Your Soul. It's an early kind of more of their power pop side in their early days.
This is actually ABBA. This is like when they were calling themselves.
Yes, this
ABBA.
Is an actual ABBA.
Everybody in radio land can see the heads bobbing. Right, it's almost it's like the raspberries like play too fast.
Right. Yeah. Sort of glammy too. Sort of Bay City Rollers.
Yeah. It's very glammy. Well, I mean,
their first incarnation was pretty glammy. They had like a star shaped guitar, and all the big giant platform boots and thigh highs and.
That was the style of the day. But when I think of ABBA, the one image that always comes to mind is like they're all wearing like white.
Yeah.
With like big poofy hair. Right. And they're all wearing like
Don Kirshner.
White.
Ron Kirshner show.
And what a great show that was.
And a very strong logo.
Yes,
right.
Just, ABBA, I think, is probably proof positive how important a logo type really is for your band. There'd be nothing without it.
Right.
Right. Just, and being early in the record racks, Also the first thing you saw when you went, to the record store.
ABBA, Acme.
So how about a Steve Miller band, Loser's Lounge?
That would be good.
Sure. Oh, I thought you did that for some reason.
No, we've never actually done Steve Miller.
I was listening to Take the Money and Run yesterday. What
Sean Altman's been
yeah, he's been,
he's been
Sean
plugging
Altman,
that
he's been
for years.
That for a while. Someday Sean will get his wish.
lots of good Steve Miller band, band hits.
Sure.
And you're taking this on the road? You've been on the road with the Losers Band? Seems like quite a lot of people to be.
We've never taken it on the road. It is a lot of people. We did a show in Nashville last fall, and we used a lot of local Nashville people. My friend Chris Woolsey lives there now, and he was a Losers Lounge guitar player for many years. So he assembled the band. and it was basically kind of like a franchise. I showed up in the last for the last week and, you know, rehearsed and then did the show. We had some great people. We had people that like play with Jack White down there and the Raconteurs, and this guy Sam Bush, who's like a, we did a Bowie show down there, and he's like this famous bluegrass mandolin player that couldn't wait to sing Fame and do like a fuzzed out mandolin Robert Fripp style solo. So it was a really, it actually worked pretty well down there.
Well, I think that's important. People who haven't seen the Losers Lounge know that you guys are not exactly purists.
Right.
There's always a few nuggets thrown in there. Yeah. You're like, what? They
no,
did that?
No, I mean, some renditions I've seen are very loyal and just really show-stopping and pure, you know, and faithful, and others are just basically pissed.
Right, right.
Right. You know, people say, are you making fun of the artist? And say, well, no, we're having fun with it, but we're not making fun of
right.
it, you know.
We're putting on a show!
Yeah, last time I was down in Nashville, I met these guys who played in a Chuck Berry cover band, uh-huh. right? And they said, you know, they were like all local like studio guys.
And
this was their side project.
Right.
And they said, you know, anybody who came down to Nashville, they had a great reputation, always wanted to sit in with them. Like Robert Plant would come down, or whoever mm-hmm. it was, like all these people, you know, come down. And they always said no. Because they said, you think you know these songs, but you don't. Because they were purists. They played the songs exactly as they were on wow. the Chuck Berry records. So you think you know Johnny B. Goode, but you know it from like 20 cover versions.
Right,
you have
right,
in your
right.
memory. You don't really know how it swings, the verses and the parts. Well, I mean, they were really, really strict.
Yeah, Johnny Johnson.
And I admire that.
Yeah. I have a story about, you know, I play with Ronnie. And one year for the Christmas show, it was rumored that Keith Richards was going to show up. And we're like, Keith might show up, and it was, you know, before email or like faxes back and forth to his personal assistant, and we didn't really know if he was going to show up or not, but we got to, this is when this place was called Shine for a while, but it's now Le Poisson Rouge, it was right. the Village Gate, and you know, his roadie shows up with a guitar amp, so it's like, okay, it's looking pretty likely. And then, Keith wanted to do Run Rudolph Run, and he gave us, it's sort of like that Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. He gave us very specific instructions how to play it. Because I don't know if you've seen that film, but he shows sure. Chuck how to play his riffs.
And so we did it?
We did it, and we did it with him, and it was awesome. Oh. Yeah, I mean, he was like, he came up to Ronnie, he was like, giving the I'm Not Worthy thing, because they'd go way back. They, you know, they opened for Ronnie when back in the
they
day.
They dated.
Yeah, Keith talks about it in his book.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've met Keith, and the overwhelming vibe you get from Keith Richards is he's actually a warm, kind of down-to-earth, yeah. regular guy, and likes to be there, and likes to be part of it. And
yeah, he was great.
Isn't, so. You know, intimidated by his own fame the way I think, you know, or a mark for his own gimmick the way they make his.
Right, yeah.
Mick's a dick.
Brenda.
Can we say that? And a
we're
small one at that.
Brenda.
Keith is a man of the according people. Yeah, fuck Brenda. Keith is a man of the people. Yeah. Brenda and his tiny toddler, I believe. So we've got more songs from the abattoir.
Let's see. Next, you know, we always like to find interesting cover versions. And this was a song that I discovered by a band called The Favorites, doing a version of SOS that I had never heard before. And this is thanks to, you know, current YouTube technology.
Which according to the Sex Pistols, according to the Sex Pistols, they based Pretty Vacant on SOS.
Ah, see?
I was reading the liner notes to this Greatest Hits thing. And they go through each of them. They interview each of them. And it's like, oh, yeah, Glennie wrote Pretty Vacant. Funny thing, yeah, he was a big ABBA fan, trying to keep it quiet. But funny thing was, so was Sid.
Those happy days, they seem so hard to find.
Creeping.
I tried to reach for you, but you had closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so fun, it used to be so good. So when you're near me, darling, can you hear me? SOS!
Sounds more like the Sex Pistols than the Sex Pistols.
Yes, yeah, right.
Nothing else can save me, SOS.
The Favorites, huh? I'm going to start a band called The New Favorites.
Yeah, there you go. You can do a Favorites tribute band.
There's definitely an ABBA sound, right? I mean, there's sort of like that sheen, glimmer that sort of bounces off all of their songs, right? Because they have like their own high-tech studio up there in like wherever it is.
ABBA Land. I think that there's an ABBA museum now, actually.
Wow.
In Stockholm, from what I hear.
Nice.
I think they were responsible. They were like the leading export of Sweden for a while.
Right? They took over the porn industry. Look, Cliff, pizza's here.
Nice. Now, Elvis Costello said that they... It sounds like their music is sprinkled with pixie dust.
And speaking of Elvis Costello, the riff in Oliver's Army is based off of ABBA as well. The sort of piano thing was based
admittedly stole. Yeah.
So how do you go about selecting the material for the show? Because honestly, I'd be hard pressed to be name more than four or five ABBA songs. Put together a whole show.
What's wrong with you?
The hard part is actually narrowing it down. when we used to play at Fez, shows would go on for like 3 hours, but they run a tighter ship at Joe's Pub, so I often will start with like about 40 songs and then figure out a way to narrow it down to 20, because there are quite a bit. You might not realize it now, but if you come to the show, you're like, oh that song, that's usually what happens.
Right.
do the singers help you pick, or do you pick and then figure out who's best to sing it?
It's sort of a combination. Like, I'll make suggestions, but then some people are like, I really want to sing this particular song.
Bribery. I've heard a lot of bribery.
There's bribery. I'll usually say pick your three favorites, because a lot of times everybody will want to sing something like, The Winner Takes It All. It's like everybody, it's like there's some big... I'm sorry, but like five other people want to sing that song. Can you pick something
else? That's a crazy amount of work, though, for you. You're the musical director and the piano player. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of songs, but we have a pretty good system, and the band, we kind of split the work up amongst all the band members, and we, it's a good team. So
now, if Judy were to come to your piano karaoke, and she did want to sing Whitney Houston, would you be ready to play any Whitney Houston song she might want to
possibly?
The Greatest Love of All, might you know that one?
It could happen. I have a book with a lot of songs in it, but lately, if I can get an internet signal and I can find the chords on the internet, I'm up for winging stuff, and I've literally played songs I'd never heard before from The Little Mermaid.
When did you start playing piano? I mean, that's incredible to be able to do.
Well, I started playing, actually, there we go.
Is that Judy's version?
Taking us back.
I think this is really Whitney.
I actually started pretty late, but from the moment I started playing in bands, and I, played in cover bands for many years.
Yes, so King Crimson, Genesis. Because you're a keyboard player,
right?
You're proggy.
Rick Wakeman, and but then I played in from like I guess giving away my age here from like the late 70s through the mid 80s. I played in cover bands, playing like I was 3 years old, but, playing five, six nights a week, every song that was on the radio at the time. So I kind of have a lot of those just stuck in the back of my brain.
You've done Elton John, right?
Yeah, we did Elton John.
Yeah.
That was obviously a big keyboard inspiration.
Well, a lot of keyboard guys. You did a Stevie Wonder night, right? That's kind of keyboard driven.
That was great.
Very challenging.
Even Barry Manilow is very keyboard driven, right?
We keep talking about Barry Manilow.
That'd be a great line.
We could maybe get Mr. Mike McPadden to fly into New York for that one, because to his credit, he was the first person to suggest Paul Williams, and then that happened and Paul Williams showed up.
Yeah, that was great.
I have to give him props for that.
Did he play?
He sang a bunch of songs at the end. He sang The Rainbow Connection.
With Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss showed up. Richard Dreyfuss tried to sing Rainy Days and Mondays.
His career is really clinging. Nothing.
Well, what was great is he had a couple of Richard Dreyfuss moments where he's like, what's going on here? When we were practicing.
You're going to need a bigger band. Now I'm just thinking of like Jaws music and Poseidon Adventure music and like movie soundtrack night.
We would like to do a sound. We did Mancini way back when, which would be a great one to do again. And that was one of the first ones I think you
drew. That was the first one I ever did.
Because I think you guys had lyrics for Baby Elephant Walk.
Yes. Provided by Dan Klaus, I think.
Do we have one more song left on the ABBA playlist?
Let's see.
As it has been the fastest 30 minutes on the internet today.
Yes. Why don't you skip to the last one? Because we have Mike Fornatel doing a rockin' version of Watch Out from last time we did the show.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we hit that, Joe, remind us where we can find you, where we can see you. Your karaoke gigs, the Loser's Lounge, and of course, you on Twitter and Facebook.
Joe McGinty 7 on Twitter and Facebook. www.loserslounge.com, and also there's a Facebook page for Loser's Lounge. I think it's Loser's Lounge NYC. We're all pretty easy to Google and find.
And Cliff Mott, Artist of the Stars, and you've got some new artwork coming out on a John Spencer Blues Explosion single, I hear.
Yes, indeed. coming out soon. We're working on it now.
All right.
Right now.
Well, we can't wait. Where can we find you?
I'm at cliffmott.com. Simple as that.
Well, all right then. For Judy, Joe, and Cliff, this is Mike and Julie Jr. Thanks. We'll see you guys next week at the Abattoir.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, the French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.